modern smoker.
I'm thrilled to have the campaign behind me and to get back to governing, which is what we're going to do starting today, and get back to work. The verdict from last night is that, at least in New Jersey, people like who I am and like the way I govern.
The voice of Chris Christie, the reality of now he's governing and people like him the way he is, as he said. So a day after the elections and counting, what's new and what's different? Well, there are a few things that have happened, including the Republicans on notice that they have to get a clue when it comes to what the identity is of the party. And if they're to take advantage of problems with Obamacare, the key thing is to be able to capitalize with it along the way in 2014. I hope you're doing okay in those nooks and crannies. And, of course, here on America Tonight, that's where we start. All roads lead from Washington and to Washington, it seems, doesn't it? It's the ripple effect of the frustration, the tsunami of frustration that is outside the Beltway. I'm surprised we have a Washington left. If emotions, if raw emotions could be turned, bottled into something huge as far as riding that crest, that wave of anger, boy, we wouldn't have a Washington. That's really how bad it is out there. And you all have your own stories to tell, and you all have problems, many of you anyway, navigating what is now a new landscape. The president says that this is the way. This is, there are better options out there, and there are people with pre-existing conditions, and this is a plan that is going to change the course of history. But in what direction? In what direction? I think for people who are not seeing very much of a change, if everything's the same, status quo with the employer and getting the insurance, well, they're not feeling it, but they may feel it next year because some of that's going to change. It's going to be lifted. Anybody on an individual plan that has to try to figure it out, that's going to be tough. And then the people that are part of the so-called middle class, really the lower end of the middle class, are the ones who will get the most jammed up, and depending on how many people they have in their family. And I say this all the time, and I'm going to say it again. If somebody says, geez, do you think all Americans should have access to affordable health care? My answer would be, you bet. I took a ride with a cab driver about a year ago in Dublin, Ireland, who told me he thought Americans were barbaric because we didn't take care of our own people when it came to health care. And whose fault is it that we got into this position? Of course, it's the mega control with the rates that the insurance companies have had. But the insurance companies will tell you some of that is because of the regulation coming out of Washington. Either way, we are definitely entering into, I think, a pact with the devil. For most of what I've seen and for most of the conversations I've had with people I know, unless they're in a really good plan through their employer where nothing has changed, they don't care. If they're an entrepreneur, if they're self-employed, if they're out of school, if they're on the older end, they're very concerned because, remember, you have fixed incomes you're dealing with. And what's the one thing we talk with my pal Mike Bonacorsi about all the time, which is why we have him on the show a couple times a month? If you're planning for any kind of future where you're not living under a bridge or you're not an overwhelming burden to your family, you have to plan for extra cash when it comes to healthcare, and you don't know where your health's going to be. I mean, you know the best laid plans, you know how that goes. So when you're saving and you've got money in 401ks or IRAs, And then when that has to come out, and then you think of you enroll in Part D if it's still there, and then you look at Medicare Advantage and that plan and the Medigap coverage and alternative plans and try to figure the whole thing out and what you have to pay, the monthly premiums, where are they going to be then? You think heart problems, cancer, diabetes, and some of it for a lot of people is beatable. But that means procedures. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. You can't control it even if you're in great shape. It's the bumps in the road, preparing for the unexpected. I think now more than ever, you have to prepare as much as you can for the unexpected, because I think these costs are going to really burden a lot of people. To me, then, that's not affordable. And I guess that's why we keep having this conversation round and round and round. So the president met Wednesday with Senate Democrats and then hustled off to Texas to talk in Dallas to encourage Americans to enroll in health care plans and raise money to elect Democrats to the Senate at two separate fundraisers. And he was on Air Force One with Senator Michael Bennett, who's the chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. At the meetings, Obama watched people sign up for healthcare at healthcare.gov and then push the idea of why wouldn't you want to get healthcare, even though there's been problems with the rollout. Why wouldn't you want to do that? So this is the push because of, I think, all of the blowout over the rollout, since it's been not very smooth. And people have to have time to shop for a plan. They have to enroll. And the widespread problems have eliminated that. And it just seems to get worse every single day. A blackout, a problem, being kicked off the system, you know, whatever it is. But yet the Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, who says that, implementation is tough and isn't good, and we're having problems, and I apologize for that. She continues to ride it out. And nobody answers for the problems that we've seen. And time will judge this. Where in the legacy of this president does this fall? We don't know for sure. We don't know. All right, coming up next on America Tonight, We Can Count. Wait till you find out what government agency spent $800,000 on swag. How much swag do you need? Oh, you're going to cringe when you hear it. We got a list. Hang with us. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Which do you love best, Thanksgiving dinner or leftovers? The meal takes such time and effort, you wish it was easier so you could have it more often. Well, right now it is. Right now you can. Imagine your family enjoying the ultimate comfort food easily during stressed out times of a disaster or emergency, or outdoors while camping or hiking. The freeze-dried feast from Freeze Dry Guy is a special case of Thanksgiving dinner, ready for you any day of the year for at least 25 years. Freeze-dried turkey tetrazzini, green beans, dehydrated potatoes and sweet potatoes. Yes, even dessert. This delicious feast is ready to eat when you want or need it most, easily in just minutes. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. There's free shipping, plus your family could win a free traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Go now to freezedryguy.com.
Looking for Superman. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I promised that we would do that numbers thing that I love so much because, you know, it all comes back down to the numbers, doesn't it? I was saying earlier about what it was going to cost us and what you have to prepare for retirement and how worried a lot of people, rightfully so, are over health care because it affects you when you're younger, when you're middle-aged, and when you get into your later years, if you live that long, there's no way to prepare for that or know for sure what your lifeline is going to be like. On that note, let's head to the mailbag. Or not the mailbag, let's head to We Can Count.
Seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12.
U.S. Marshals Service spent $800,000 on lapel pins, silk scarves, Christmas ornaments, crystal statues, swag. They say it was a six-year period. That's the Inspector General's report. It was a 37-page report that was released earlier this week that showed that one of the divisions of the Marshals Service increased its spending tenfold on what they wrote as swag. So one of them did that. And what was it used for? What were the examples of what they were getting? One of them was neckties and scarves that said U.S. Marshals Service, right? That was $12,000. The Christmas ornaments were $14,000. The blankets and throws, $17,000. Well, you get the gist of this, right? Then there was $8,000 on cufflinks, $6,000 on teddy bears, $21,000 on keychains, and the list goes on and 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 on. So, you know, here we go again with the layers. The what's essential, what do you need, and of course, it's understandable when you're talking about ceremonial things and things that are part of awards and moving up and getting a pin or whatever, but it was way beyond that and way beyond, I guess, gestures, although that's what they're saying. Look, this is essential to what we have to do. We have promotional things that we're dealing with that we to promote what we're doing, and we need that. It has to be much more money than that. So the Justice Department investigation concluded that the growth in the spending was the result of the absence of internal controls, accountability, and good judgment. We could put that somewhere else too, couldn't we? Internal controls, accountability, and good judgment. Oh, my oh my. Although it seems like a mere pittance compared to the general or the government accountability office to what some of the stuff that was spent before. But now you've got the oversight that's looking into it. So if there's anything else that they've got going on, it'll be exposed. All you have to do is find that one needle in the haystack. And then it just gets worse. Twitter set its initial public offering price at $26. It's going to raise $1.8 billion. Seems like just yesterday we were talking about 140 characters, and look how big Twitter got. Still hard to understand in some ways what's the big deal about Twitter, except for that now you have news people, you have presidents, you have candidates who are tweeting. I mean, everybody's tweeting. So looking for immediate response, even breaking news. That's what's happening. It trends on Twitter. The Boston Marathon bombing, the best information came from Twitter, from people looking right out their windows and seeing what was going on and then tweeting about it. So it's not surprising where that IPO is at. It's the question of how many people are going to jump on that stock. All right, speaking of big numbers, sad numbers, all that kind of stuff, the number of poor people in America is 3 million higher than the official count. One in six, partially because of the medical costs, work-related expenses, that kind of thing, find themselves in a state of poverty. The number of poor people in 2012 was 49.7 million, or 16%. That's certainly more than 46.5 million, or 15%. That was what was reported in September. That's pretty high poverty rate. Looking at the numbers, because I wanted to break down some of the states, California had the highest share of poor people. That was hurt by the housing costs are outrageous. Immigrants, the large number of immigrants. Then District of Columbia, Nevada, then Florida. Under the official poverty rates, more rural states were likely to be at the top of the list. Mississippi, Louisiana, and New Mexico. Americans 65 and older had the largest increase in poverty under the formula from 9.1% to 14.8%. Why do you think that is? Medical expenses. The Medicare premiums I was just talking about, the deductibles, other costs that aren't counted on in the official rate. And that is the number that's scary for most people. You don't know what the need is, but you have to prepare for the need possibly being really, really great. And you're going to need to dip into more money. What's going to happen is people are going to move in with friends and figure out other ways to do this living thing if enough of them live to be X, Y, Z amount of years old. The feds gave $150 million. They gave clinics $150 million for what? They're going to give them to health centers to help hire more people, buy equipment and rent space to treat new patients. The grants are, they say, to help the health centers absorb some of the people expected to start getting care for the first time because they'll get insurance under the Affordable Health Care Act. The cash supports 236 health care centers. They can add 1.25 million people. There are about 1,200 community health centers right now across the country. Did you know that? So adding patients means adding ways to treat them and granting community health centers money so that they can expand and see those patients. Whew. Slippery slope, my friends. Slippery slope. Kathleen Sebelius says, you know, the health centers are the key to improving the Affordable Health Care Act, the services. Because if they have health insurance options, then helping the uninsured sign up for health coverage because they've been locked out would be an incredible service. All right, you want to stay with us? Much more to come here on the flip side as we kick the can down the road on America Tonight.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Once again, our pal Andrew Sabo with Peel Back the Onion. He is the marketing chef and the creator of Simply Irresistible Marketing. And I'll tell you what, when it comes to marketing, this is the first thing that we're going to start with right out of the chute. As you know, we were all over the elections yesterday with McAuliffe becoming the new governor of Virginia. He's a Democrat. He's a Clintonite. Worked for the Clintons. They campaigned for him. Chris Christie, a Republican, retains his governorship, if you will. He's still the governor of New Jersey with eyes on 2016, the presidential race. And Bill de Blasio is the new mayor of New York City. We've talked about this before. He's a Democrat, too, as well. But his administration may be a little bit different than Michael Bloomberg's stranglehold on New York was after he did it for three terms, got people to actually vote him in for that extra term. So, Andrew, you are the king of this. I mean, this is what you do, as I said. You are all about marketing and strategy and positioning. So let's break down those campaigns a little bit. And what do you think it means for Republicans?
Well, I think there's lessons on both sides for both Democrats and Republicans. And it was a peculiar set of elections because each of those three constituencies do have some particular dynamics. Let's start with New Jersey, Governor Chris Christie. He won a landslide re-election, and some people are even saying it's a possible launchpad for a 2016 White House run. He's very moderate as a Republican, and obviously people remember from a year ago, he piled up to the president when we had the tropical storm Sandy, of course. So a lot of credit to them for that, but he beat the State Senator Barbara Buena, who really wasn't expected to do that well, but it was by almost two-thirds to one-third. So certainly a handy platform. Obviously now he's got, he's been able to attract the support of
of Democrats, independents, and minorities. So he makes for an interesting prospect for, obviously, an ideologically split Republican Party ahead of 2016. So I think that's the dynamic that Chris Christie enjoys, that he's very unique among Republicans in a unique state in that, with the dynamics that's going on there. Now, New York, he's got a very staunch Democrat. I mean, people are saying he's extreme liberal, staunch liberal, I should say. So it just goes to show that the Democrats, despite Obamacare, in certain places are going to still do well. And that's where you contrast that against Virginia, where you had an ultra-conservative Republican who was, a lot of people were scared of him. He's socially conservative. He wanted to bring back things like anti-sodomy laws. He wants to make divorce more difficult. Very radical right-wing. And, of course, he fought his campaign. Remember, this is Virginia, very dense population in northern Virginia. He fought his campaign against the backdrop of the government shutdown, which was forced by his allies. So you got a lot of government workers who were upset, and it was an anti-vote to some degree against the Republican Cuccinelli. But on the other hand, the Democrat only won by the slimmest margin. He was expected, Terry McAuliffe was expected to win by a much greater margin.
In
this particular geography, people do think that the Obamacare fiasco definitely hurt McAuliffe, and he lost a lot of votes. So I think it's an interesting prospect that the Democrats have. You start peeling back the onion, you know, it's not going to be, there's a number of Republicans, I'm sure. You heard that a lot of Republicans went up onto the Hill. There was, I think, 14. This was not on the president's schedule. And 14 of them went up to meet with the president over, and these were 14 senators, Democrat senators, who were supporting the law in the past. They're worried about the troubled rollout and it's going to come back and haunt them during the 2014 midterm elections, just as it eroded McAuliffe's margin, because he had a double-digit margin over the Republican, and that was eroded to just, I think, 50,000 votes was eventually the margin between them. So we've got an interesting situation. Dilemmas for the Democrats, but also a dilemma for the Republicans, because they decided, and I think, you know, we've talked about this before, Kay, on and off the air, is the lack of messaging strategy by the Republicans. There's no clear messaging strategy. And I've informally asked people, so what do you think is the Republicans' message? And I get things all over the place. What about you?
Absolutely. That's a great thing to throw out to the audience. Let's ask them, what do you think the message is for the Republicans? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I think the problem is it's all over the map, and they don't have clearly one message. And that one message, you know, it's those buzzwords, I hate to say it, but it's so true, it's those taglines that help in an election year, certainly, because you look at the placards, you look at the backdrops and how that's developed as you go along, as you get closer and closer, that becomes important. So Rince Priebus, who is the head of the Republican Party, the challenge he has, one of the big challenges he has, is coming up, Andrew, with that message, one solid message that Republicans, whether they vary on a couple of issues or not, can stand behind and stick to. And I think this is a huge dilemma for them.
Yeah, and it can't just be part of the problem is the Democrats have, in one sense, painted the message of what the Republican message is, in that they just basically anti-Obama, anti anything that Obama comes up with. So it's just they've painted them into a corner. That it's just that Andy, they don't stand for anything. They're only against everything. They're trying to block legislation.
Yeah.
And that message is what people perceive. There's a high percentage of people perceive this is what the Republicans stand for. They don't stand for anything. They stand only against things. And if you stand against something, then you stand for nothing.
Yeah, and that's it. You got to stand for something. You got to carry a message of something, whatever it is. Remember the first, it's like you look at George W. Bush. Remember his first presidential campaign speech is, we will carry a message of hope and renewal to every community. And they kept talking about that community, 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 and really did a big excellent. I mean, really, the designers of his campaign the first time around, the grassroots effort was so huge, and the messages were on point, and he would reinforce that all along the way, and I think that was what made such a huge difference for him. It's so key in the game of politics. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You know, speaking of that, we'll stick with this. We'll finish with this. Is, you know, talking about Christie in 2016, I have a few people that know Chris Christie in my life, and they say privately, he really, there's no question, he really is flattered by the fact that his name keeps coming up as far as the presidential race is concerned for the Republicans in 2016, and that he really, really is interested in it and is even thinking about, you know, who could be the vice presidential candidates. Do you think Chris Christie, ultimately, you have Bobby Jindal, who's the governor of Louisiana. You have Nikki Haley in South Carolina, because, of course, that would be a woman. You have Ted Cruz, the senator in Texas, Marco Rubio in Florida. There's some other names that have been mentioned. But do you think he is an electable guy for the Republicans?
I think that, remember, there's two elections, essentially. You have to be, first of all, elected as
primary,
for the nomination.
Yeah.
And then there's the general election. I think he stands a better chance in the general election than he does getting the securing the Republican nomination, which, of course, you have to get first. So you got to, it's unfortunately, the egg comes before the chicken in this case. Mm-hmm. And I think that's his biggest challenge. And, the names that you mentioned, there's a lot of great names there. People who I think can also have the potential to unite the party, who probably stand a better chance in securing the nomination. There's going to be a lot of people that will vote, I'm talking Republicans, that will vote against Christie because they think he's too moderate, and they didn't like what he did a year ago. They can't forgive him for what he did. They believe, some people believe that Christie cost the Republicans the election by piling up, week, 2 weeks.
Which, by the way, I don't believe that one bit.
I don't believe that.
I think Romney was not the right guy. So, but saying that, it's interesting. When we'll continue this conversation too, as we talk about politics another time on the show. But who the running mate? If it were to be Christie, he'd have to have somebody that would appease the Tea Party people that aren't really crazy about Christie. He'd have to have somebody that was really strong in that area to unite the party. That would be key.
Or it could be the other way around too. That could be a very popular ticket where if Ted Cruz gets nominated, he picks Christie as the vice president. That could also happen. So it could be, either way. Either way, I think they've got to, A, unite the party, and B, make it, and this is what the Republicans have to key in on, not only just the message, as we talked, an irresistible message, but they also have to have, I believe, a winning ticket that the country, it's an electable potential president and vice president. And so they got to look at the whole package strategically,
I believe. Yeah, I agree with you, absolutely. All right, Peel Back the Onion with Andrew Saba. We'll do it again. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Kate. Awesome, as always.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Do you want to pay the bump from dawn to dawn? Or if you want to pay the bump of spring along, then that's a point you'd only be a hindrance to me. You got to pour it, that's a point of company.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very excited having our virtual green room. We spared no expense for this remote. Jason Fried, he is one of the authors of Remote Office Not Required. Jason, thanks for popping on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
All right, so Remote Office Not Required is pretty self-explanatory, but tell me what the genesis was for you writing this book, you and David, your partner.
Yeah, so we've been running a remote company for about the last 10 years or so, and actually a little bit more than that, probably maybe 12 now. And we have 40 employees, 12 of which work in Chicago. I'm sorry, actually 13 work in Chicago, and the other 27 work in 27 other places around the world. And so we've learned a lot about what it takes to make this work. And I keep, you know, whenever I tell people about the way we work, people are like, no way, I've never heard of that, I didn't know you could do that. And I said, yeah, you could totally do that, it's not a big deal. And I kept hearing this, and we kept hearing this, and David kept hearing it, and people were so surprised that you could run a business this way. So we decided, you know, let's write a book about this, help other people, other business owners and other employees who want to work remotely, help them understand how it's possible, what it takes, what to do. And we put it all together in this book, and now it's out, so more people can learn about how to do this.
Yeah, so when you had friends over a decade ago or acquaintances or even business people, you know, say, oh, no way, I didn't know you could do that. How do you do that? Do you when you first embarked on it, did you think it was going to be difficult? Do you think you were going to have to play babysitter and you weren't going to be able to get in touch with people and the work was going to slack off? Did you think you were going to have problems?
No, I didn't. I never even gave it a second thought. I just said, like, I want to work with the best people I can, wherever they are. It doesn't matter where they are. David, who's my business partner, was actually located in Denmark, and we're in Chicago. So we were about seven time zones away, and we've worked together for 10 years.
Wow.
The second programmer we ever hired lived in Utah, and so he was a couple time zones away. And I just felt like, you know, people are the difference in a business, and I want to have the opportunity to work with the best people in the world. I don't want to just work with people who are within a 20-mile radius because they happen to be within a 20-mile radius. Some of the best people are elsewhere. And this is true for, I think, any position. So I feel like as a business owner, I need to open my eyes and be open to hiring the best people anywhere they are and not just the people who are nearby. And so for me, it was just sort of a thing that I did. I didn't really think too much about it. And it kept working and kept working and kept working, so I kept doing it. And I haven't seen any significant issues with it.
One of the things you talk about in your book, you say morning remote, afternoon local, and you talk about yourself that you spend the mornings at home and then you end up in the office maybe around 11-ish or so. But you emphasize it doesn't mean you start work at 11, but that you have zero distractions in the morning, you get other things done, and then you're able to collaborate and be free to do that in the afternoon. I think there's a lot of truth to that as somebody who has flexibility as well, that people have this idea that it's, you know, you're sleeping in, you're doing other things, but you actually can focus. Do you find that that works with employees as well?
Yeah, you know, we have, while we talk about remote, we really have a hybrid company, which is, you know, we have some people who are local, some people who are not local. But even the people who are local, many of them decide to work from home a few days a week or split their time in a given day. Some people show up late in the afternoon, come to the office in the afternoon. And what we find is that, you know, my general feeling is that people should work whenever and wherever they're most comfortable and personally most productive. And if that happens to be from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at home and then come to the office in the afternoon, that's great. Or maybe they come to the office in the morning and then leave and go home in the afternoon. It doesn't matter to me where they are. Some people are really early morning people. Some people are better late night people. Some people are better working with others around. Other people need silence and privacy. You know, it all depends, and everyone's different. We know everybody's different, yet the typical corporate environment treats everybody as if they're always productive at the same time, always prefer to be in the same place, and that's just not the way it is. So our general feeling is that you should be wherever you want to be, whenever you want to be. As long as the work's getting done, I could care less where you are when you're doing the work. So I'd say though that me personally, I'm someone who's more creative at night. So I like to go do sort of the busy work stuff in the morning and early afternoon. Then I take a few hours off, and then maybe I'll jump back into work a little bit later at night where I'm thinking more creatively. But if I need to do administrative work or more menial work, I'll do that in the mornings, and I feel like I'm better at that time. So that's what I do.
We should tell everybody that obviously besides writing this book, Remote, Jason has a company, and it's a web design firm, 37 Signals, and you already mentioned Chicago's where you're based. How about clients? When clients, you know, see the letterhead or have conversations, does this throw them off with the whole remote part of the time in the office sometime? No, because not a lot of people know office. Does that throw big companies into confusion?
Well, so we make software these days. So we used to do website design. That's how we started as a business. And over the past 10 years or so, we've been transitioning into just making software. And when you make software, you have customers who buy your software, but they buy it all online. So we don't have to meet with anybody in person. We don't have any salespeople. Everyone just, you know, we put up a website, put up some product shots, explain the product well, and let people sign up online. So it doesn't matter where we are. But when we used to do client work, we would just be very, very upfront with our clients and say, hey, you know, we're in Chicago. You are in, San Jose, California. If we need to get together, we can hop on a plane. No big deal. But you know, we don't really think it's necessary. We'll share your work with you very often. We'll put it online, but use Basecamp, our project management tool, to share work, and so you can stay up to date on what's going on. And we'll save each other a lot of time and a lot of hassle, not having to do meetings and not having to commute and not having to meet up and all that stuff. And you can do what you do best. We'll do what we do best. And whenever we need to discuss stuff, we can show it to you online. Or if we happen to have to get together, we can do it once or twice during a project. It's not a big deal as long as you're honest with people. If you don't tell them this stuff until you get the deal, and then they're like, well, we want to meet with you every 3 days, you know, that's not going to work. So I think it's just about being honest, setting expectations. And if a client can't understand that way of working, then it's probably not a good fit. And you're better off working with clients who understand that way of working. So it comes down to finding the right people, hiring the right clients, just like they hire you, and finding people who care about the work and not the physical place where you do the work.
Yeah, well said. Marissa Mayer had a lot of controversy when she first took over at Yahoo because she didn't want that. She wanted people in offices, and it really created a lot of conversation around the water cooler for people all over America. Got huge headlines. She probably didn't hurt her because it helps getting the company name out and you see where it's gone. To be honest, there's no bad publicity. But there were a lot of people in the company that were furious that it was like, hey, this way or the highway. Was that smart for her to make that move or not?
Well, you know, my feeling on that is that, you know, I think time will tell, and she deserves the benefit of the doubt because she runs her company her own way, and she's a new CEO, and she's been very successful in her career, more so than I have been, in terms of running big organizations. It's not something I know much about. So let's see what happens. But fundamentally, the problem we have with what she did was that she basically pinned a lot of the woes of Yahoo on remote workers. She said, we can't do what we need to do if people aren't all together. Well, the truth is that there's only, I think there's like 2 or 3% of Yahoo workers are remote. And there's no way that Yahoo's woes are pinned to those 2 or 3%. Yahoo had had 5 CEOs in 5 years. Management had been terrible. The company had lost its way. And that wasn't because 2% of the people worked at home. So I think we need to be careful. And you're seeing HP, another company that's having some real troubles. Now they're saying people can't work remote either. And I think there's a lot of scapegoating going on and saying, well, it's, you know, we need to have everyone under the same roof to have the same culture and all this stuff. But that's not the problem with the company. The company has much, much broader and deeper problems than just having a few people work at home. So that's our pushback on that big announcement. I don't know if it should have blown up the way it did. I mean, it was one CEO's decision, and everyone's entitled to make their own decisions. But I think over time we'll see that what's going to happen, I think, is there are a lot of people with a lot of options and where to work these days. And I don't think great people are going to want to work for companies that force them to be in a certain place at a certain time. I think people have a lot of options, and they'll be far more interested in working with companies that give them the flexibility to do the work wherever they want. So I think companies and CEOs who are adamant about not allowing people to work wherever and wherever they want are going to lose out on some of the best people. So I think that's another long-term negative that's going to come from Yahoo's decision. But I guess, you know, again, time will tell. We'll find out in 5 or 10 years what that decision, you know, looks like.
Jason Fried, pick up the book, Remote, Office Not Required. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy biofilms. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.